All right, we are going to give the microphone, if we can have order on the floor, please. Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and give the microphone over to the chair of our resolutions committee, Jeff Tom.
Does Jeff, can we move this boom mic over to Jeff?
Otherwise, I'll read one-handed. Okay.
We're going to move.
Sorry, I should have called you out.
All right.
Cool. Okay. Yeah, great. Okay. We'll try to roll through these as quick as we can. I know the hour is getting on, but we want your attention to these important resolutions. We have a total of 7, including our two that we always pass, usually, anyway. The first one is presented, comes from the task force appointed pursuant to the last convention's motion, Resolution 1, 213B1, on State Board of Guide Dogs of the Blind. Whereas in or about 1948, at the urging of prominent leaders and members of the California Council of the Blind, CCB, legislation was enacted creating the California State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind, the board, pursuant to Section 7200.5 of the Business and Professions Code. And whereas the board rapidly developed procedures governing fundraising, the startup of guide dog schools, and the licensing of such schools and their instructors. And whereas, thanks to the board's efforts, California is the first and only state to mandate the quality of guide dog training programs and the competency of instructors through a comprehensive examination and licensing procedure for California schools and their instructors. And whereas, in recent years, the board has implemented other procedures less favorable to blind persons who have chosen to use guide dogs, and frequently without the knowledge and input from the knowledge of and input from guide dog handlers themselves. And whereas examples of such procedures include requiring an instructor employed by a school located outside California to be licensed by the board, requiring apprentice trainers seeking licensure as instructors to provide the board with the personal contact information of handlers who have received training from the prospective licensee, and requiring apprentice trainers seeking licensure to provide videos of apprentices instructing guide dog teams. The latter two requirements without first obtaining signed authorization for the use of students' personal contact information and or images. And whereas CCB has a long-standing, mutually beneficial history of partnering with the board, but has grown increasingly concerned with the direction taken by the board in recent years. And whereas earlier this year, the board, in consultation with members of CCB, agreed to require that the 3 guide dog schools licensed in California obtain written authorization from students prior to the release of students' personal contact information and or images. And whereas CCB views this as a positive sign that the board now understands and recognizes the importance of consumer participation and input into the process of developing cutting-edge standards. Now, therefore, be it resolved, and I'm going to read the boilerplate this first time, by the California Council of the Blind and Convention assembled this 20th day of October at the San Diego Del Mar Marriott Hotel in the city of Del Mar, California, that this organization commend the California State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind for its 65-year history of ensuring the highest quality of instruction by the 3 guide dog schools in California, and for its recent decision to amend its regulations to require schools to obtain written authorization from students prior to the release of personal contact information or the image of students in training on videos submitted to the board. That was to the board, excuse me. And be it further resolved that CCB urged the board to further amend its regulations and or seek legislation to do the following. 1, permit the provision of follow-up services by instructors for periods of no more than 2 weeks at a time to guide dog handlers who receive training from schools outside the state, which have current certification from the International Guide Dog Federation. 2, require the production and dissemination through the three guide dog schools and on the board's website of a fact sheet describing the board's arbitration authority, its role in assisting handlers who are victims of alleged guide dog discrimination, and the purpose of the board itself. And three, require that a fixed percentage, at least one-third, of the members of the board be current guide dog handlers. And be it further resolved that, if the board appears to be unwilling to support the above recommendations, CCB gives serious consideration to withdrawing its long-standing support for the board when it is next considered for legislative sunsetting in 2017. The committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
We have a second. Any discussion? Who seeks the floor? Gene?
I'm in support of the resolution, but I just want for correction. It is not the city of Del Mar, it's San Diego. This is a San Diego, not Del Mar. Del Mar is not incorporated at all.
I'm sorry.
The boilerplate language you said in the city of San Diego, the city of Del Mar, there is no city of Del Mar. It is the city of San Diego.
Okay, thank you, Gene. I'll make that correction.
Well, we're not going to debate whether there is a city of Del Mar or not. What we're going
Gene
to do.
Tells me
wait. What we're going to do is stick to the fact here of, are we in San Diego physically or are we in Del Mar?
Here is San Diego.
Okay. Who seeks? Okay.
Madam President.
And she's going to tell us that we're here or not, and then we're moving on. Yes.
Does this lady have the mic?
Go ahead.
Okay, this is a part of San Diego that is close to Del Mar. The zip code is 92130.
Okay. So she's saying we're in San Diego. We're in San Diego. Thank you. That was Lee, right? Thank you. Okay, thank you very, very much. Okay, any other discussion? All those in favor of this resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions. Motion carries. Thank you.
Okay. We're going to stick to guide dogs here. So we'll go to 2013B6. And this came to us from GDUC. Whereas Braille issue here. Whereas during the 1970s, Guide Dog Users of California, GDUC, was established as a statewide affiliate of the California Council of the Blind, CCB. And whereas, in compliance with the requirements of the GDUC Constitution and bylaws, Pamela Metz became the organization's president on August 15, 2013. And whereas, on September 11, 2013, an unidentified individual or group of individuals without the knowledge of the GDUC president or board of directors registered an application for incorporation of an organization called Guide Dog Users of California, Inc. with the Office of the California Secretary of State at http://kepler.sos.ca.gov, entity number C, 3603072, agent for service of process, LegalZoom.com, date filed 09/11/2013, jurisdiction California, using the following addresses: entity address 6043 Ralston Avenue, Richmond, California 94805, agent address LegalZoom.com, Inc. 1100.
Can we please have quiet on the floor?
100 West Broadway, Suite 100, Glendale, California, 91210. And whereas the GDUC Constitution and Bylaws expressly prohibits the use of the name of Guide Dog Users of California without the permission of the GDUC President, and whereas at no time did the GDUC President, who took office on August 15, 2013, authorize the filing made on September 11, 2013, and whereas CCB views this unauthorized filing as a deceptive and misleading act, now therefore be it resolved for the California Council of the Blind that this organization affirms that since its inception, the statewide affiliate for guide dog users has continuously operated under the name of Guide Dog Users of California, GDUC. And be it further resolved that the organization that has applied for registration as Guide Dog Users of California with the Office of the California Secretary of State on September 11th, 2013 is not and never was the recognized CCB statewide affiliate bearing that name, and be it further resolved that a letter accompanied by a copy of this resolution be sent via certified mail to the applicant at 6043 Ralston Avenue, Richmond, California, 94805, and to the agent for service, LegalZoom.com, demanding that the organization filing the registration with the California Secretary of State on September 11, 2013, for incorporation of Guide Dog Users of California, Inc., immediately withdraw this unauthorized filing or relinquish control of the resulting corporation to the board of directors of the duly recognized CCB statewide affiliate to which the name of Guide Dog Users of California has always been associated. And be it further resolved that if this filing is withdrawn or the corporate entity relinquished, the individuals who made this filing be encouraged to join in the revitalization of GDUC. And be it further resolved that if the individuals associated with this application fail to comply with CCB's demands within 10 calendar days of the receipt of the letter sent pursuant to this resolution, 1. Copies of this resolution be sent to the California Secretary of State, the Office of the Attorney General, the Governor's Appointment Secretary, the Director of the Department of Consumer Affairs, the State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind, the Executive Officers of the three California Guide Dog Schools, the Board of Guide Dog Users Incorporated, GDUI, and the American Council of the Blind, ACB, in order to make these officials and organizations aware of this situation. And 2, the CCB Board of Directors, in consultation with GDUC, consider what other actions are available and appropriate to bring about a satisfactory resolution to this situation. The committee recommends a due pass, and I so move.
Any discussion? Okay. What I am going to do here is I am going to start the 20-minute rule for debate. And what we will do is we will start... Frank Welty will determine how we start with a for or against, because his voice is the first voice I heard. So I will tell you when we start. Frank, do you have a microphone?
Yes, I do. Are we ready?
Okay. Go ahead.
Madam President, Mr. Chair, fellow CCB chapter members, if you're not absolutely shocked and stunned at this moment, you were not listening to the resolution that's just been read to you. So in case anybody missed the point, here's the deal. Somebody is trying to hijack the name of Guide Dog Users of California. Has that ever happened in the history of this organization? I don't know. But it sure better not stand now. Here's the deal. On September 11th, somebody, unidentified, filed an application with the Secretary of State's office to use that name. Excuse us, that's our name. I am the president of Guide Dog Users of California. Pam Metz is the immediate past president of the Guide Dog User of California, and she was president at the time that that little item was filed. She was not notified. Nobody on the board was notified as per requirements of the CC, of the GDUC constitution. And not only that, but these people didn't even have the courage to put their names on their application. Now, I'm pretty sure that wasn't an accident. I don't think somebody woke up one morning and said, I'm going to start a GDU, a guide dog club, and I'm just going to call it Guide Dog Users of California. And what? There's another one? This is not acceptable. And so we're asking, in behalf of the board of GDUC, to have the support of CCB by affirming that we really are who we say that we are and not somebody else, and to notify those people to knock it off, and that if they don't, people are going to know about it. We've got to stand up for our affiliates, and I ask the support of this body in our behalf. Thank you very much.
Okay. Speaking again. One moment. Are you speaking against?
No, I'm speaking for.
Okay, we need someone who's speaking against.
Excuse me.
Do we have anyone speaking against? Okay, what I would like to ask, I hear no againsts. Please be sure that if you have something to say and you wish to speak, if you have something new to say or different to say, please feel free to say it. Go ahead, Mike Keithley.
Two things. I think that the resolution should have some language saying that if the people responsible for filing the applications are found out to be CCB members, that they should be expelled. And also, I don't think it reference to.
Can we please have quiet on the floor?
I don't think the reference to ACB is necessary, as the GDUC has removed itself as an affiliate of ACB. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, one moment. The resolutions chair wishes to speak. What I am doing is I'm stopping the clock on the 20 minutes. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, first, did you actually make a motion for that as an amendment, or did you merely say you thought that? Because I didn't hear a motion. Okay. So, with respect to the second point first, the reason I think to still include, you know, ACB and GDUI in there is, I can't speak for the drafters, but obviously GDUC members are ACB members, for one thing. And also, I think it's still important to, I would think that they would view it as still important to inform GDUI of what is going on. And so I assume that they would not want their action yesterday to have any impact on that wording. As for the expulsion point,
can we please have quiet on the floor?
The Constitution, for one thing, the Constitution is vague on, you know, the authority to expel and whatever anyway. For another, we really think that we are giving in this resolution the board direction in consultation with GDUC to look and see what should be done based on the future in terms of what actually happens. The committee did not feel it was appropriate to hamstring the board as well as the membership in terms of the future, but to give direction that we needed to look at it dependent upon, you know, what is available and appropriate. And so from the committee's perspective, we would not view that as any kind of a friendly amendment. We think we should keep any specific remedies out of the last resolve clause.
Okay. Someone has the speakerphone on their cell phone. Nice. Can that person and their cell phone please go outside or turn it off immediately? Okay. Now, I have the 20-minute clock starting to run. All right. Who sought the floor? Steve Mendelson? Okay. Go ahead, Steve.
Thank you. I certainly want to endorse the resolution and add my heartfelt support to President Welty's comments. I think, though, with respect to the issue of the scope of discretion afforded to the board to determine such further action as may be necessary if, and in all events, in all likelihood, when our 10-day demand is refused, I want to make certain, and if it is already clear, then I don't have any amendment to offer, but I want to make certain that it's clear that it includes all necessary authority to seek legal redress, to hire or consult with attorneys as may be necessary, or to do any other measures that are required to enforce our legal rights and our economic interests in the name.
We are to consider any remedies that are appropriate, available and appropriate, and so there is no restriction on what the board can consider.
Thank you. Who seeks the floor? Anyone else to speak? Who is this, please? Vita.
Thank you. Can we please maybe change or add in the last clause that the board in discussion with GDUC will look at this in a particular time frame? So it isn't said to us, okay, well, we'll take this up in a year when we have time. So can we please at least add a time frame to that? Will the board or CCB be willing to do it within a 30-day period? Speak to us.
If you wish to propose an amendment, you can propose it, but it will not be friendly.
It will not be what? Okay. What is the current wording? So if you're asking me to... So my friendly amendment is that we add somewhere in that last clause that we will meet within a 45-day period. That's my request.
And basically the resolutions committee chair said that that the time period component would not be friendly. So you're proposing an amendment to add to that language meeting within a 45-day period.
Yes.
Okay, so it would read, just so that we have it for purposes of voting on it, to consider within 45 days of the...
end of the 10-day calendar period.
Right, okay. Within 45 days of the end of the 10 calendar day period. Okay, I've got it.
Okay, perfect. And I heard a second supporting that amendment. Was that correct? Okay. Do we have any discussion on the amendment? Is that Frank Welty? Okay, we'll have Frank's. Let's get a mic to Frank.
I'm coming.
I wish to propose a subsidiary amendment, which I think will be very minor and friendly, and simply that I'm not sure of the exact wording, but basically saying that the action will commence within 45 days, because I'm afraid that if we just say 45 days without that clarification, that some people might try to argue that they had to be done within 45 days, and I don't think that's the intent.
Does the maker of the... of the amendment consider that friendly?
So would you, if I can interpret that, Frank, would you, if let me read this clause and see if by throwing a couple words in I get to where you want to go.
Sure.
But I want to see, make sure that we have what he wants. The CCB Board of Directors, in consultation with GDUC, begin to consider, within 45 days of the end of the 10 calendar day period, what other actions are available and appropriate to bring about a satisfactory resolution to this situation.
Yes, that's where I'm going with that.
And so it's friendly. Okay, to the maker. I hear two people, but I'm waiting for an answer from the maker of the... That cell phone needs to be on vibrate or off, or please go out. Thank you. And I know folks are waiting for their rides. I realize that.
This is Vita.
Yes.
I didn't see the change. I think it said exactly what I said. Where is the change?
It says begin. The
okay,
word
fine.
Is begin.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Of course.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. And we have Linda.
I'd like to ask my excellent good friends, Frank and Vita, about their level of concern and lack of trust in the board's willingness to deal with this issue. Didn't the board immediately respond to the concerns raised earlier this year about GDUC and take immediate and strong action in the defense of GDUC? And what makes anyone believe that we would lollygag around after the 10-day period and not begin to deal with the issue? I don't think we need the friendly amendment. We will deal with the issue when it becomes necessary to deal with it.
Yeah. Madam Chair.
And that's, wait, please. That was the, maybe I shouldn't speak for the resolutions chair, but that's why it was considered unfriendly, because it would be dealt with in a timely manner.
Madam Chair, yeah, this is Doug. I was the second one. First of all, I'm very much in favor of the resolution, very much opposed to the amendment. And my opinion is that we should wait to see what the Secretary of State's office is going to do prior to the board pursuing any definite action.
Margie, are you speaking to the amendment? Because that's what we're... Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for clarifying. I want to state that I'm opposed to this amendment, and I'm opposed because I believe the board will take immediate action, and I believe that immediate action must be taken after that 10 days is up. I have been in contact with the Secretary of State's office. I'm not sure that we can do anything, but we need to get this to them because they have 90 days from September 11th to get all of their documents to the Secretary of State's office to become fully incorporated. And I think that our board, both of our boards, can work together after that 10 days is up to take very aggressive action with the Secretary of State's office. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam President.
Jeff.
I, too, am opposed to the amendment because I think that it may be that Margie is right, that we must do something sooner. But I don't know that that any particular date in here is going to impact the board over much. I think the board has to take its responsibility seriously to look at the issue immediately. It may decide that it's much better not to do anything for some reason or other, and it may well decide that it's got to do something immediately. So I don't know that this amendment really serves a great purpose. I can live with it. It's not going to be harmful. But in reality, it's not going to, in my opinion, it shouldn't impact what this board does.
Any more discussion? Okay. We are voting on the amendment. We're voting on the amendment. Jeff, you can be more concise than I.
Yeah, we're voting on the amendment. I will read the clause, and I will read the amended words as we get there. So the clause will say, with the amendment, the CCB Board of Directors, in consultation with GDUC, insert, begin to, and then the word consider was already there, and then insert, within 45 days of the end of the calendar day period, and then it goes back to the original wording, what other actions are available and appropriate to bring about a satisfactory resolution to the situation. So all we're doing, all we would be doing with this amendment is inserting the requirement that the board has to begin its consideration within the 45-day period after the end of the 10-day period. And if you vote yes, that's what you're voting to do, insert that requirement. If you vote no, it will not be included.
All those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye. Opposed?
No.
The noes have it. Thank you. Now we'll go back, and we still had time on the resolution for debate.
I have one, thank you. Mr. Roller Skates gave me another one. Hearing no more discussion, all those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? One opposition noted? Thank you very much. Mr. Chair, how about another resolution? A point of information. It doesn't matter what it is. You get the floor. Quickly, sir. Be concise, sir. The batteries probably died. I know. His battery. There we go.
The button. Oh, jeez.
Lord.
And that was without the microphone.
And Ken, yeah. And Ken, please be concise.
Yeah. Madam President, on the first resolution, I would like to thank Mitch for running the task force in getting that resolution taken care of and handled with extreme professionalism. A lot of us met together on that task force, and as the point of information, it is to thank Mitch for a tremendous job, as we can see by the difference in the attitude in voting for that resolution.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, Ken, because I felt that was an extremely well-crafted resolution that combined many of the portions of both of those prior resolutions, and I second that. I'm glad you said it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
We're on B2 now, IHSS Reader Services. This issue has been here before. Whereas access to information, including written documents, is one of the most significant barriers that persons who are blind or who have low vision must overcome in order to lead fully independent and productive lives. And whereas the reading of mail and the timely completion of forms such as as well as the payment of bills, are major components of that obstacle. And whereas this is especially true for low-income persons who often lack the financial and other resources to obtain assistance from sighted persons for the reading and completion of documents. And whereas the In-Home Supportive Services Program, IHSS, has been in existence for more than 40 years in order to enable low-income seniors and persons with disabilities to remain in their own homes and avoid institutionalization. And whereas the definition of supportive services under the IHSS program fails to include the reading and completion of documents, despite several attempts by this organization at correcting this grievous inequity. And whereas most recently, the California Council of the Blind sponsored AB 238 Bell of the 2008 regular session in order to remedy this problem, but the bill, after passing the legislature, was vetoed by Governor Schwarzenegger. And whereas CCB has worked, since the vetoing of that legislation, to increase awareness of the need for this legislation among advocacy organizations, employee unions, and public officials, and whereas passage of legislation to include reading and completion of documents is long overdue, Now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind Convention assembled this 20th day of October, 2013, et cetera, and in the city of San Diego, got that right, that this organization seek reintroduction and passage of AB 238, and the committee recommends it do pass, and I so move.
Several seconds. Any discussion? Okay, Steve Mendelson seeks the floor. And then there was a lady. Who is the lady? Andrea, if you could stand as well. First Steve, then Andrea.
Needless to say, I strongly endorse the resolution. I would suggest its expansion, though, in one possible respect. A certain amount of the IHS funding is conduit funding that comes through Medicaid. And that brings in a federal dimension, which has to do with the dimension of personal assistance services. Anyway, I won't go into all that now. The point is I'd like to make a friendly amendment that the motion be expanded to authorize us to consider with our attorneys the possibilities of litigation in this area under applicable federal law.
Well, Steve, we can look at that. I don't think federal law would preclude us doing that at all. And in fact, 90 to 95% of the funding for IHSS comes from state Medicaid or federal Medicaid money.
That's my point. That's why I don't think should include.
What I'm saying is I don't think the feds would preclude us from adding that as part of IHSS and spending Medi-Cal on it. But if it was to be a problem, we could certainly face that.
No, Jeff, my point is exactly the opposite. There's no likelihood the feds would preclude it. What I'm suggesting is that some federal leverage is required here, and there are various ways to get that, and the resolution should include our exploring the several possibilities for gaining that federal leverage that exist.
Doing what to gain the federal leverage?
A, talking to our council about the possibility of litigation. B, talking to our council about the possibility of filing a petition for an instructional letter from CMS, which are frequently issued under Medicaid in response to situations that arise at state levels. There are various things that can be done. They should be included in the resolution, is all I'm saying.
I don't think we'd have any legal remedies until... I don't think the feds would require us to have that service. But on the other hand, until we were to pass the law, it won't become a legal issue. I think we're premature in putting that into this...
No, that's absolutely not... Well, I disagree with you strongly.
Well, I disagree with you. I think we're premature until the state passes legislation from this issue arising.
Okay. Yeah, I was just going to say, can you tell they're two attorneys? I feel like I'm in the courtroom. Yeah. All righty. This is good. I like it. I like it.
It's one of those kill the lawyers thing, isn't it?
Oh, we love you guys, though. You're ours. Okay. Thank you. Andrea.
Okay, I just got a mic. Quick question again. This may be not something I'm clear on. Was it Governor Brown that vetoed this? It said Schwartz. Okay,
no.
So this was a while
hold
ago.
Hold on one second. She's not talking to the whole room. She's talking to the
resolution.
I'm just
asking because it said, I thought this was a recent bill, and Governor Brown's been in office since 2011.
We've tried, but the closest we came was in 2007 and 8, and that's where we got it vetoed by.
Okay. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries, even after the dueling lawyers. Yes.
All righty. And Steve, just to make a point. We can examine this, and if there's something that can be done about it ahead of time, this resolution certainly doesn't preclude that. So, we'll look at this together and see where we come out.
Next resolution.
Okay, this is number 3, and this is dealing with Department of Rehabilitation purchasing. Whereas the vast majority of procurement of goods by the state is specifically for the use of agencies and their employees. And whereas in such a system, it is essential in protecting the state treasury that spending on procurement be monitored and controlled. And whereas in order to accomplish this goal, utilization of strategies such as selecting the low bidder and discount purchasing through bulk purchases has long been a vital component of the state procurement system. And whereas, moreover, in order to ensure that the system of state procurement works effectively and efficiently, the Department of General Services, DGS, monitors and oversees state agency purchasing. And whereas, in order to defray a portion of the cost of the monitoring and oversight function, an amount in excess of 1% of the cost of items procured by the purchasing agency is transferred to DGS. And whereas, unlike the vast majority of state purchasing, most of the Department of Rehabilitation's goods procurement is for the purpose of purchasing items for its consumers, rather than for goods used to provide the agency's own services. And whereas not only is the Department of Rehabilitation, DOR, a smaller procurer of goods than most agencies, but more importantly, because almost all of DOR's procurement is individualized in nature, being geared to the needs of the specific individual, there is little, if any, ability to seek discounts through bulk purchasing. And whereas, because a large portion of this procurement involves items that are not made for the general public, such as assistive technology, purchases must usually be made from small businesses rather than large corporate entities. And whereas the use of small businesses is generally viewed as not necessitating compliance with low bidder requirements. And whereas, given that the rationale for strenuous monitoring and oversight by DGS does not apply in the case of consumer-related DOR procurement. And whereas, in addition, the percentage of DOR funds used for procurement that is transferred to DGS would better serve the purpose of providing goods and services to DOR consumers, now therefore be it resolved, that this organization requests the legislature to examine the issue of whether the state procurement monitoring and oversight functions of the Department of General Services, along with the associated percentage of procurement funds transferred to DGS, should, in the case of the Department of Rehabilitation, be limited or completely eliminated. Committee recommends a due pass, and I so move.
Discussion?
I'm going to, if I could, Madam President.
Yes, Jeff first, SCC's chair.
This came from essentially Donna and I. The reason that we have written it in this way is it's an issue that really has some broad implication to all of DOR purchasing. It goes beyond blindness. It's a complex issue. We don't want to try to propose a law or anything like that at this point in time. We want maybe the legislature to have a hearing on it or to have some discussions about it. This is sort of a preliminary whack at what could be an issue that could help in the future. And so I'll certainly let, you know, if Donna wants to amplify on that. But that's why we sort of came up with this sort of moderate approach to this issue.
You said it all. Let's give the microphone to the person who wants a point of information. Judy.
Jeff, I support this resolution. But would you mind telling us, in fact, who does submit these resolutions as you introduce them? It really helps.
I apologize.
Actually did. He said.
Well, no,
that
he
it
did
was...
at the end, Donna. In his introduction. But for instance, for the previous resolution, it was nice when you told us the guide Doug uses. If you don't mind,
Judy, if I fail to do it, remind me to again because I mean to do that. By the way, I had submitted the previous IHSS resolution.
Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, that was Jeff.
Yeah, so Judy, thank you.
Okay, Steve has discussion.
Who is next, Donna?
I heard Steve call for the floor, and then who else called for the floor? No one else. Okay, go ahead, Steve.
Again, I don't want to run the risk of getting ahead of ourselves here, but I'm always trying to look for what is the real point of leverage. And the real point of leverage here is RSA, because, again, a lot of these funds are federal funds. So the first question that I would ask is whether or not the existing RSA regulations permit the federal VR funds be used in this way. If the answer is no, then there's a leverage point there. If the average is yes, then obviously the legislature becomes the appropriate forum. But even in that case, I would suggest to the legislature that in their consideration, if they're not prepared
to abrogate the 1% entirely, they at least consider treating the 1% as a component of the federal match required, state match required to get the federal funds.
It's my understanding, Steve, and I will continue to look at that question because it's a legitimate one, but it's my understanding that the state is not acting afoul of the law in doing this.
Steve, did you have any more on your comment before I give the mic over to Mitch?
Just to bear in mind the matching issue later on.
Thank you. We'll give it over to Mitch. So patiently. Thank you.
Steve, I wish it were so. The RSA would basically keep hands off and say, look, how you provide that equipment to clients, whatever your state process for doing so is, that's fine. They won't interfere in that regard. Wish they would, but they won't.
Anyone else? Ed Crespin? We'll give the floor, mic to Ed Crespin. Ed, we'll give it to Ed.
Thank you, Ed. since I'm on the Rehabilitation Committee, I support this amendment or the resolution. It's really vital for our services, for our counselors to provide services to our consumers, so this is a very good resolution.
Thank you. Ed is the chair of our Rehab Committee, so thank you for that. Any other discussion? All those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
We are on the last advocacy-related resolution, and we have our two other ones. This is number 5, and this came to us from Charles Navarrete. It relates to BEP. Whereas California law establishes the Business Enterprise Program for the Blind, BEP, under the administration of the Department of Rehabilitation, DOR, do you ever feel like we're in alphabet soup world here? Pursuant to which vendors who are blind or have low vision, in order to be provided with entrepreneurial opportunities, are given a preference to operate cafeterias, vending machines, and vending stands in state buildings, and in other public facilities to the extent agreed to by non-state government entities. And whereas, in recent decades, the state has failed to identify, pursue, and develop new BEP locations and to work vigorously for the retention of existing locations. And whereas one such example has recently occurred with respect to the newly constructed Long Beach Superior Court building, and whereas in this instance the state entered into a public-private partnership for the construction of the building, under which the private entity authorized to operate the building was permitted to, and indeed did, contract with a private party rather than BEP to operate the building's vending facility. Whereas the department has failed to aggressively seek opportunities in such areas as city and county facilities, community colleges, and state post-secondary institutions, and whereas one such example is the failure of the department to work with the city of Los Angeles to allow blind vendors to operate facilities at the Los Angeles International Airport, and whereas these policies and practices have led to a dramatic decrease in BE locations from over 300 to approximately 100. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization advocate with the legislature, the governor, and the Department of Rehabilitation in order to reverse the long-standing failure of the state to identify, pursue, and develop new BEP locations, as well as to vigorously strive to retain existing locations. And the committee recommends a due pass, and I so move.
Any discussion? Okay, Christy has discussion, and then was that Margie back there? That was Andrea. Okay. Christy first, and then we'll go to Margie. Andrea.
I would entertain a friendly amendment to also add state hospitals and state prisons.
Does the chair consider that friendly?
Are there, in the state hospitals and state prison, is my understanding that they've been putting them in. Tell me the issue there.
No. Is it the same issue? They have not?
They have vendorized private organizations, and I have been trying to get us into state hospitals for the 15 years plus that I've been in state hospital service. Used to be Department of Mental Health, now it's state hospitals. I don't know if they're in the prisons or not. I kind of doubt it.
They're in many prisons. I don't know if they're in all of them. I don't know if David Hanlon's here could ask, answer that. But
I'd like to see this as a friendly amendment to include state hospitals and prisons.
Okay, let me see where it could go. Well, why don't you bring this, Margie, while I'm looking for a place to put
Margie, was it specifically to this discussion? Okay, then Andrea would be before you.
We'll let her, if she wants to talk while I'm looking for a spot to put it.
Andrea first.
Okay,
I just had a quick comment in reference to the Long Beach situation. There was a really nice article that somebody posted to the CCB list, and I shared it with lots of people about the guy who was evicted. He has been placed in another location, but I really thought it was a lovely article, and I highly encourage you all, if you want to know more about this situation, to please, it was within the last week, and it was from the Long Beach paper, and it was really, he just sounds like a great guy. It was really nicely done, and how he had established relationships with the people that he worked with and with the people who used that courthouse and had to let his cook go and, you know, various things. It was just great.
Let's give it over to Margie.
I would like to offer what I would consider a friendly amendment.
Could you, Margie, hold on for a second.
Hold on 1 second.
Unless it's the same as she is, can you let me do that one first?
Please do that one first.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Otherwise, we're really
how about...
Okay. Whereas...
Okay, here we go. Here's Jeff.
I think I'm okay.
He's
whereas
got
the
it.
Department has failed to aggressively seek opportunities in such areas as city and county facilities, state hospitals and prisons, and then we go on to community colleges, et cetera, et cetera. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to, I know this is sort of out of the ordinary, but if I could do it, I'm going to check with Roy Harmon as to whether prisons is appropriate, and if it's not, because it's a friendly amendment, but if they are doing all the state prisons, I wouldn't want to look.
Wait.
Okay, you do?
You know for sure of
okay,
a prison.
Okay, thank you. Then
I'll
extend. Then no problem with it.
Okay.
Christy.
Okay. Are you ready for Margie? Jeff, are you ready for Margie?
I am.
Okay, go ahead, Margie.
Mr. Chair, I would like to offer an additional friendly amendment to include VA facilities. Now, let me explain this for a second. Many of us know that the cafeterias at VA facilities are ran through, canteen service, which we cannot change that. But there are many VA facilities that have additional vending stand type places. For example, the San Francisco VA opened up this wonderful little gift shop and gave it to a private community vendor. And that's happening throughout the VAs. Palo Alto VA, when they opened up their new canteen service, brought in Burger King and other places such as that. And that does not fall under canteen service. So where in VA hospitals, and well, any VA facility, not just hospitals, but I do believe where they do not fall under canteen services, that our blind vendors should be in their not commercial businesses. Thank you.
So, Margie, would you accept this? It's this whole list of the community colleges and all the other people's. Federal facilities, including those of the Veterans Administration. Is that okay with you?
You might,
or Department of Veterans Affairs? How do you
want to? You might want to say, including VA facilities, where canteen services does not apply, because I can see us sending this out, and they're going to go, well, canteen service takes over.
How about including appropriate veteran? Okay, so including those of the Veterans Administration, how does it where? Where what canteen?
Where canteen service does not apply.
Service does not apply. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Margie. Any further discussion? All those in favor of the resolution with the friendly amendments signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Who seeks the floor? Mitch. It's you.
Jeff?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Assuming, we're getting a mic. There you go.
Assuming you are still on the National Resolutions Committee, while I wouldn't suggest this entire resolution go to the ACB Resolutions Committee, I think the fact that there are federal facilities such as the Veterans Administration, which do not participate in the Randolph-Shepard program, probably should engender a specific and separate resolution to be addressed in Las Vegas next summer.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with you. Okay. I will definitely keep that on the front burner when the time gets a little closer.
Veterans Affairs, Roger just said.
That is the proper term for the
Veterans
Department.
Okay.
Yeah.
Department.
I'll change it, Margie. I know better, even if I didn't.
Okay.
Do it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
We're now to our last ones, and in many ways our most important. 2013 B4 volunteers. Where's the efforts of the volunteers at the fall 2013 conference and convention? The California Council of the Blind have helped to make this event an unqualified success. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization thanks and commends each and every volunteer for their outstanding work. At the fall 2013 conference and convention of the California Council of the Blind. And boy, there were a bunch of them, too. So whoever got them, thank you very much for your work. And the committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, we're now to number 7. Thinking about Scrabble here, I've got a double word. Resolved by the California Council of the Blind and Convention Assembled this 20th day of October, etc., etc., that this organization extends its profound appreciation to the hotel staff of the San Diego Del Mar Marriott Hotel for their outstanding work. And yes, indeed, they have been. The committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you.
Okay, I want to very quickly, and I wrote down some names, so I want to do this. I'm going to thank a lot of the people that came in to our committee. Before I thank my committee members, they included Donna, who is really a member of our committee anyway, Mitch, Ken, who we want back on our committee, Vita, Frank, there were others, but those are just a few of them. Committee members, Gene, Charles, Gabe, Linda, Lena, and Robert. Did I miss someone? I don't think I did. Anyway, I want to thank you all for your hard work that you always give, and we have a great working committee. So, again, thank you to the committee.
Okay, I also wish to thank our committee chair, who does a great, great job chairing. Thank you very, very much. Okay. Oh, do we have a thank you. Thank you, Lena. And we have second. Any discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Report accepted. Thank you. Okay.